morning's scripture is Isaiah 55, 1 to 5. Invitation to the feast. All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money, come, buy food and eat. Without money, at no cost, buy wine and milk. Why spend money for what is food and your earnings for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Enjoy the riches of feasts. Listen and come to me. Listen and you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful loyalty to David. Look, I made him a witness to the peoples, a prince and a commander of peoples. Look, you will call a nation you don't know. A nation you don't know and will run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified you.
In these winter months, we have been exploring, walking together through the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if you noticed or not, but we have already now finished three petitions that relate us to God. And now, after having prayed, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that's the first petition. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Three petitions. We begin praying that way. We begin praying, focusing first on God, not us, not our needs. We focus first on the glory of God. That's how prayer begins. But then there's this change. We see the change today. Three times we will ask God for us. And the first petition for us, give us this day our daily bread. Back during the Cold War, those of the communist persuasion would deride believers and Christians and say, you just are believe pie in the sky by and by, but we are concerned with life in the here and now. That was a misunderstanding of the Christian faith. The first three petitions, yes, do relate us to God, but now heaven and earth come together. For God is concerned with what we eat, and that we all have enough to eat, and that daily bread becomes now the first petition for us. Heaven and earth come together in the Lord's Prayer. This is a translation you may not be familiar with. We're reading the Lord's Prayer in different translations each Sunday. So hear it again. When you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't pour out a flood of empty words, as the Gentiles do. They think that by saying many words, they will be heard. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom. so that your will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us for the ways we have wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Let us pray. Oh God, your word is alive and cuts to our hearts and calls us from where we are and where we have been to a new place, a new person. May your word go forth to bring blessing and new life this day. Amen. If you remember the story of the Exodus in the First Testament, it has to do with the children of Israel being set free. And they follow Moses out of slavery and bondage as they march to the promised land. But now there's a straight line between Egypt and the promised land, and they could have gone there pretty quickly. It's not that far. But lo and behold, God leads them to wander all through the desert, not for just months, but for years, for 40 years. They wander. Why does God do that? Because they have so much to learn. If they're going to be God's nation, God's kingdom, they have so much they need to learn, and they cannot learn it overnight. It's going to take them generations to learn. What purpose now are we to fulfill? And you may remember that when they got into the wilderness at the beginning, it didn't take them very long to get hungry. They thought they were going to starve to death. Where's the food? They go to Moses and say, you know, we could have died in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here to die? In Egypt, they had worked us all day and they had the whip, but we had plenty to eat. Why did you bring us out in this wilderness to die here? Where's our bread? And then Moses told them, yes, there's bread for you here. It comes from heaven. It's the bread of heaven, and it will feed you all the way home. It was actually a plant that grows in the desert, a tamarisk plant. It grows there, and they called it manna because manna means, what is it? That's the word that's translated, manna. What is it? Then Moses told them, now, here's how you receive this bread from heaven. You go out in the morning and you take as much as you need. It will be there for you. It will be from heaven. It will be God's gift for you for each day. But don't take more than you need for one day, because I want you to trust that on the next day, God will feed you too, as well. And the next day, and the next day. Well, most of them did, as Moses said. But you know, there are always those who don't quite trust. Oh, wait a minute now. We got bread today, but tomorrow maybe there won't be as much bread for us, so we'll just take more than a day's blessing of bread. We'll take a little for the next day as well. And those who took a little bit more found out that when it came time to eat the more, was full of worms and was not able to be eaten. So the first thing that God wants to teach this group of ragged slaves just out of Egypt, to trust God and the bread for each day, knowing that on the next day you will be called to trust God again. And then you will learn to trust God each day, every day. And what you receive, yes, it grows in the desert, but no, it's not. It's from heaven. All of our bread is from heaven. It's holy bread. That's why when we gather around our tables and we share our meals together, we bow and we close our eyes and we give thanks to God for this holy bread that God has fed us. God has given to us what we could never give to ourselves. This is not bread that we have brought to eat to the table. It's there because God made it possible. God brought the rain and the sun and the soil and those who help gather and sell and share. This is God's work. This is God's bread. This is our gift, daily gift. And we even are taught to pray when Jesus gives us the prayer. Give us, God, our daily bread. God delights in feeding us. And we delight, most of us do, looking around the congregation. We really do delight, don't we, in all of the goodness at our tables. When I was doing seminary work, one of the places I traveled on one occasion, or more than one occasion, was down to the state of Mississippi. We had a very important alum down there, and he was to put me in touch with possible donors, and I would make visits to people and ask them to share in the work of the seminary. And so cultivating friendships was part of the work that I did. And I remember going to a place called Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Now, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, you don't know this, but it claims, right or wrong, it claims to be the birthplace of rock and roll. If you want to believe that, that's okay. They say this is where it started. There's a college there, University of Southern Mississippi. And I was aware that they had a somewhat famous resident citizen of Hattiesburg. Her name was Osceola McCarty. I'd read about her. President Clinton had given her the Citizen's Medal, which is the second highest award that our country bestows upon our citizens, Citizen's Medal. Let me tell you just a bit about her. Why she was honored in such a way, why she had been on TV, and why magazines and newspapers all across the United States had told her story. Maybe you know it. She was born in 1908 in Hattiesburg. She managed to get into the sixth grade when her aunt became ill. Now, people don't do this anymore, but there was a time when people did this. She dropped out of the sixth grade to take care of this aunt. And after the aunt was unwell, her grandmother became unwell, and she began to take care of her grandmother. She never went back to school. But she did pretty quickly. She's not quite a teenager yet. She took up the career of her mother and the career of her grandmother. she became a washerwoman. The good folks of Hattiesburg, Mississippi would bring their laundry. Now, I had a vision of their bringing it up to her porch and putting it down on her steps, but no. When the car would drive up, she would rush out and she would welcome and she would take the laundry and she would bring it back into the house. She did this for about 70 years. Now, when she started doing the laundry, she would put on a big pot of water, great big, and wood and everything to get it real hot, put all of the white clothes in to start soaking, and then she would take, you don't know what a scrub board is. I'm old enough, I could just remember. Do you know there's a factory in Ohio that still makes the scrub boards? And do you know that there were millions of people around the world who still use the old-fashioned scrub board? And she begins to wash the colored clothes on this scrub, the washboard. She takes the clothes after she rinses them, and she takes them out into outside, and there she's got a clothesline that runs 100 feet, and she starts putting the clothes on the clothesline. And if you've ever been in Mississippi in the summertime, you know, it doesn't take clothes very long to get dry because that sun is really hot. And by the time she gets to the end of hanging up all of the clothes, the ones that were hung first are now dry, and she goes and she begins to take down the clothes and takes them in. And before the sun goes down, she's at her ironing board. She never had a car. She never went to a concert. She never went to a baseball game. She had a cart, and the Big Star supermarket was about a mile away. And if you've been in Mississippi in the summertime, you know how that might have felt to walk a mile to get your groceries, a mile to come home. Her social life was primarily her Bible, which by the time she died was just in rags, put together in tape, and her church. That was it. She lived by bread, the bread that God gave her each day. When she began, when she was real young, it was 50 cents for laundry bundle. But it, you know, inflation kind of went along. By the time she was in her 80s, it was $10. And she put away a little bit each week. Her friends said, "Why don't you get an air conditioner? You can afford one by now." In this house that her uncle had left her as an inheritance. Finally, they kept nagging and nagging, and she bought two little air conditioners for her house. And she never turned it on unless company came and asked for it. And in the 60s, they finally convinced her, "Why don't you buy a washing machine?" And she did. She bought a washing machine. And she used it. Washer and a dryer. She used it. One time. Why, when she was finished using the washer and dryer, she looked at the clothes, and the whites looked yellow. Didn't look anything like they looked when she used the board. And so she gave the washer and dryer away, and By the time she was in her 80s, her knuckles looked like acorns and her hands looked like dried prunes. All of those years in that hot water. Well, she finally went to her banker. She never kept track of how much money she was taking each week. She didn't know. And she went to her banker and she said to him, "I don't know how much money I have. I've been putting it away. You've been putting it into certificates and different things like that as I've saved it through the years. How much money do I have?" And he said, "You have $280,000, $250,000. She said, "Oh, that's way too much money for me. I could never spend all of that. We've got to give it away, don't we? At least some of it, give it away." He said, "Okay, let's give it away." And so he took 10 dimes. This is the kind of math I like because I can understand this. You know, 10 dimes, and he put 10 pieces of paper, because she wanted to give her money to three different places. There was one piece that said church, there's one piece that said relatives, and there was one piece of paper that said the University of Southern Mississippi. She could see it. She was never able to go to anything, because when she was young, she would have never been able to get in, and when she was old, she couldn't do it. But she wanted to help some minority person become what she never became, which was a nurse. So he said, "How much do you want to give away?" She took one dime and put it at the church. I'm sure that what she didn't save, she was putting 10% that all along anyway, but this first dime was a tithe that goes to the church. And then she took three dimes and said, "These are for my cousins." And she took the other dimes and said, "This is for the University of Southern Mississippi, so a minority girl, some young black girl, can help her way through college." And that was $150,000. When that story got out, people all over the United States began sending money to the scholarship fund to make sure that it was bigger. People sent checks, money, all over the place. The lawyers and doctors of Southern Mississippi, Hattiesburg, started giving money because they didn't want this woman to outgive them, and so they started giving money as well. And I like this most of all. There's this college up in Boston. Maybe you've heard of it. Harvard. Have you ever heard of Harvard University? Harvard University flew her to Boston, Cambridge, and offered her an honorary doctor's degree. Don't you love that? Harvard made her Dr. Osceola McCarty. When I was there making my calls in Hattiesburg, I said to my hostess as she was driving me around, I said, "You know Osceola?" "Oh, yes. Everybody knows her." I was kind of hoping I would, she would make an introduction, but she and the rest of the people of Hattiesburg were smart enough to protect her from people like me who wanted to come and sort of gawk a little bit. Oh, people said, why didn't you spend some of that money on yourself? You know what she said? I did. Because when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're praying not for me, but for we. It's not, God doesn't invite us to pray for our own individual, private little world. God invites us, give us this day. And so by giving to others, she was enriching herself. Give us this day our daily bread. The bread doesn't belong to us. It belongs to everyone. If there is a hell, and I believe there is, but it's not fire and brimstone. That's just symbolic. If there is a hell, it has over the top of it the sign that says, "Mine." Heaven is our. And if there is hunger anywhere, it's an affront to God, who wants all of his children to sit at the table of plenty. And so when you make this prayer each Sunday or each time you say it, yes, pray for yourself. Pray for your needs. Pray for what you need every day. But remember, you are also praying for all of us in the big goodness of God's love and grace. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for daily bread. Thank you that you give us what we need and remind us that what we need most of all is a big heart to share. Amen.